Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Dayman.
Dayman.
Fighter of the night, man. Champion of the...
Sun.
Sun. You're a master of karate.
And friendship for everyone.
A Dayman, that's it.
Dayman.
Fighter of the night, man.
Champion of the sun. You're a master of karate
and friendship for everyone.
Dayman.
Dayman.
Fighter of the night, man. Champion of the sun.
Hello!
Welcome to a new edition of Size Corner. He is John Zimmerman. You can follow him on Twitter at JohnZim406. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, on Twitter at DogSurfRocho. Before we get started talking about the Niners, I want to talk about something that is just more cultural, that is just more an everyday life kind of thing that drives me up the fucking wall. I'm losing my mind over it. And it's people who are just completely inconsiderate when it comes to text messages. You know, I feel a lot of people talk about this, but it's not really exposed enough. It's not really highlighted enough to make it something that is generally made aware in society, that if someone texts you and you decide to take your sweet ass fucking time responding, or worse, you don't respond, that is rude as fuck. That is just a mean, inconsiderate thing to do. I don't understand why people think it's okay.
I agree with you.
Text message said. Why is that so hard for people to do? BetOnline remains your number one source for all your football and basketball betting needs this season. You'll find the latest odds, matchup information, player news, and game trends. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events like Major League Baseball, MMA, tennis, boxing, hockey, golf. They have it all. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, it's where the game starts.
Hold on. I'm just going to play devil's advocate here because I do agree with you. After a certain amount of time, it's just you're being negligent. But sometimes you don't know how to respond. I get text anxiety where I think like what I'm saying or texting or messaging is going to be taken the wrong way. Okay. I don't want to think like, oh, is she going to think I'm desperate or like, you know, something like that. So I take longer to think about it. Then you get in your own head. And next thing you know, it's 2 days later and you're like, shoot, I got to text her back. But like also, you know, like there's people who like I get general social anxiety. So sometimes I don't text back very fast. Like that could be a big part of it. If you're at work, that could be understandable. A lot of places you can work, you either don't have the ability to text, you know, and I understand, you know, it should be. But if it's like 2-3 days, like I hope there's I don't hope there's a death in the family. But like there should be like that kind of like level of explanation for why there's no text. If you don't like somebody, just say, hey, I don't like you.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. There's just not enough genuineness in this world. There's just not enough transparency. Yeah, so I was going to ask you this. So what is like at what point does it become a social faux pas in terms of a length of time passing? Because 2 days is a long time, man. That's a long time.
Well, it also depends on the context.
It's what?
It also depends on the context.
Well, what if it's just a text that invites inviting you to something? I mean, what if it's an invitation? Hey, are you interested in doing
this? I guess
this?
You should respond as early as you can once you know whether you're going or not.
Fair. Or what if it's just something? What if it's just a casual text asking for someone's opinion on something?
Depends on the person.
Okay.
I mean, that could be a big part of it. Maybe you don't want to talk to that person.
Right. Well, I guess
I got a dude who texts me all the time that I'm in the same fantasy baseball league with, and we had a big falling out, and I'm not the biggest fan of him, but like he constantly texts me about fantasy baseball, and I'll respond like a day or two later. But then, like when he loses, I text him immediately.
Okay, but So my point is, so if you don't hear from someone right away, you can make the assumption in your head that this person does not care about me, right? Because if you do care about the person, you do respond fairly quickly, right? Because otherwise
you would think so. You'd think that's true.
Yeah.
But I think also that's just making a general assumption of like, I mean, you never know what somebody's going through. You never know how their day is.
How can you know if you don't text them? How can you know if you don't text them? It is so
easy. No, I understand that. I understand that. I'm just saying, like, you can't really, like, hold it against them. You know, it's their choice if they want to text or not. It's your choice if you want to be friends with them or be into them after that. But you just never know what's going on. As I said, you could get a message saying, hey, look, my stepdad, well, we weren't very close, but he died 2 days ago. And so I've been dealing with family stuff, and just texting you is not something I thought about. And I'd be like, hey, I totally understand that. That makes sense. That's what I said. It's like, if you have a good explanation, or even if you say, hey, look, like, I was in a depressive state for the last 2 days and I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't even get out of bed. I'd be like, hey, look, I totally understand that. I've been there before myself. Like, yeah, you work around that. And if next time it happens, you know, you feel the need to reach out for somebody, I'm here for you. You just never know what somebody's going through in their life. But that's why it's so tough to make like a generalized set of rules, like a 2-day limit, you know, depending on the context.
Again, it's one – okay, phone calls take time.
No, right? Nobody should ever do phone calls again in the history of phones.
I don't mind phone calls. I like phone calls.
Phone calls are terrible.
You and I talk on the phone all the time, though. That's not terrible to you, is it?
Well, I like talking to you, but in general, right. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody else.
Fair.
Like, I hate having to go through all of it.
But it takes a long time. I mean, like, phone calls actually take energy. You got to use your vocal cords. You got to think on the fly. I get – but – even if, let's say, your stepdad dies, let's say you're dealing with depression, it's just moving your finger on a key, on a touch sensitive pad.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm just telling you, like, depression can make it so you can't even do that for some people.
But I don't know how depression can prevent someone from sending a text message. But okay.
Depression can make people completely unable to do a single thing. They won't even get out of bed.
That's very dark depression. If you're that
low,
that's fair.
Yeah, it just hits people in different ways.
Okay, fine. If someone is that depressed, I forgive you. Okay. Yeah. Otherwise, you're fucking persona non grata to me, man. Like, if that's how you're going to roll with me.
Well, no. And also, that's the other side of it. You can make that choice.
Yeah.
You don't have to have someone in your life that doesn't text you back consistently. If you feel like that's so personally offensive, you can just say, hey, I don't want you in my life because you can't do the basic, common, decent thing to show me you love me and respect me. But, you know, to each person, that's a different level.
All I'm saying is you and I are old enough where the term ghosting was not even a thing until like a few years ago. It's become awareness has been raised about that to the point now where societal norms dictate that's a rude thing to do. So people, I've noticed it happening less. It would be nice if we also raised awareness for the fact that ghosting someone with a text message is similarly rude. It's inconsiderate. Yeah. It's just not a nice thing to do.
Sure. You know? Right. I remember back like when we were kids, you'd be like, oh, why didn't you call me? They're like, oh, my mom wouldn't let me use the phone. And you're like, yeah, like, I got to believe it. It sounds right.
You could have that excuse. So we're recording this on Tuesday. We started an hour later than usual because of a scheduling snafu. I apologize for that. But last night, the 49ers were playing Monday Night Football. I listened to the Peyton and Eli broadcast. I don't know which one you listened to. What's your takeaway from the Niners beating the Rams 24-9?
Well, I mean, I honestly believe, and this is what's scary, is our defense isn't healthy completely right now. We still got Ward coming back. I mean, we got Verrett coming back and Ward coming back. We got two linebackers out. Excuse me. Like Kinlaw didn't play last night. Armstead got taken out last night. So once our defense is healthy, I mean, we're already pretty much, I would say, either the 1A or 1B best defense in the league. We just look terrifying. The Rams had no answers for us. We had 7 sacks. I'll get to this point in a second. We had 7 sacks on them. The defense looked just absolutely monstrous. I'm really liking Talanoa. I hope I don't butcher this, but Talanoa Hufanga, our safety, second year player. I think it's kind of offensive that like he's obviously like Polynesian or you know like South Pacific, and it's automatically the 49ers got themselves a Troy Polamalu. It's like, dude, just let the guy himself. You know,
he's gonna show us.
Who's saying that? Oh, really? They said it in last night's broadcast. Troy and Joe, or whatever his name is.
So you watched the Joe and
yeah, I didn't have a choice. I didn't have the ESPN. I would much rather heard the Peyton Brothers podcast. I heard that Steph was on there talking smack. Sounded good.
Jalen Hurts was – well, I loved how Peyton introduced him. He goes, you know, Steph, you and I have something in common. We both have little annoying brothers.
Right. I saw the clip of that. That's great.
And Eli's like, what the hell, man? I know. I love that. It was fun. Yeah, those two, I absolutely love it, dude. It's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, they're the best broadcasting team in football.
Agreed. So continue on, though.
So the defense looks terrifying. The defense looks like it can shut anybody we want down. And I'm not saying the Rams, like, we haven't played great offenses. The Rams are pretty one-dimensional right now. And losing Whitworth on their offensive line, and their offensive line has injury issues too, but they're just not as good as an offense. It's literally Cooper Kupp. And he's phenomenal. He's amazing. 14 catches for 127 yards or something like that. It's like every time they needed a 5-10-yard play, he was there for them.
Right.
He's by far the best wide receiver in the league. Like, the numbers he's been putting up the last 2 years as a lifelong Jerry Rice fan, it's Jerry Rice territory, what he's been doing the last 2.5 years. It's crazy. And he started doing that with Goff, not Stafford. So it's like, this isn't just – and he did this in college too. I was lucky enough to see him play live. He went to Eastern Washington, who's in the Big Sky Conference with the University of Montana Grizzlies, proud alumni. I got to see him play here at Walgreens Stadium. So the defense just looks terrifying. So all the offense has to do is have a couple good drives, get us, 17, 24 points, somewhere in there, and we should be in every single game. And this week, while he's still Jimmy G and he still looks like Jimmy G, he made the plays he needed to make.
Yeah.
And I thought after Williams went down, our offensive line was in trouble. They had Aaron Donald. We did not get sacked once. They had zero sacks.
Are you sure? What was that one play, though, where Aaron Donald was not blocked?
Yeah, he didn't. It wasn't a sack. He got rid of the ball. What was that then? He threw it away.
Okay. Gotcha.
But they had zero sacks the whole game. So, I mean, I don't know if that's just scheme by Shanahan or the next guy just stepped up, but that's great. They're a really good defense.
There were a lot of quick throws. I think that was part of the strategy.
That's true. And they did a lot of scheming with the running game. Yeah. But, I mean, if that's what we have to do it. They're a very good defense. And, I mean, we got 17 points on them, and it looked like there was a couple of drives there where we were just kind of flowing. Now, of course, we have to talk about the man of the hour, Mr. Deebo Samuel.
Oh,
I don't know if you watched that play.
Of course.
It was, I mean, you get him the ball in space. I don't know if there's anyone quite like him in the NFL.
I really hate the fact that they keep handing the ball off to him. I hate it because he's so damn talented
that he wants to do it though.
What's up?
He wants to do it.
Does he? I thought that was part of
it. Yeah, no, that was part of it. He wanted the contract and he wanted it set up a certain way. He has certain bonuses in his contract that only kick in if he carries the ball enough times or has as many rushing yards or rushing touchdowns. Well, so it's in his contract he signed saying he wants to get these bonuses for doing this rushing duty. He wasn't mad that he was doing it. He just felt he wasn't getting paid accurately for what he was doing. So they said, okay, fine. If you want to do that, we can make you just a wide receiver and we can do that, but we'll put these bonuses in. And he said, fine, cool. So he's down for it now because he's going to get paid. But that catch and run he had, I mean, he ripped that ball away from that other guy. Jalen Ramsey, was like the old A tackle that Deion Sanders used to do where he just kind of like run up to the guy and then like, oops, I missed you.
Yeah.
And the guy would run by. Like, yeah, Jalen Ramsey has no business trying to tackle Deebo Samuel. That's just sad.
But his career is not going to be as long. The wear and tear is going to catch up fast.
He's getting paid right now. I mean, how much money does he have guaranteed?
Because I don't care about his contract, man. I care about the Niners' long-term success. This season is a wash. So when I'm looking at the Niners,
this is not a wash.
They're not winning the Super Bowl. So
they very well could.
What do you want?
With that defense, they very well could. They were one dropped interception from going to the Super Bowl last year, and I think their defense is better this year.
You're just making excuses, man.
I'm telling you right now that there's nobody in the league right now that pops out at you and says, we're the best team. Not a single team. Every team has their flaws.
I guarantee you the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs would beat them. I think the Eagles would take decent care of them.
It's a long season.
It is a long season, but you're again.
Kittle had his first catch of the night. Kittle had his first catch of the season last night.
And that's another ridiculous thing. Why? Why is Jeff? Why is he not?
He was hurt the first like three games.
But two catches, 24 yards. They're using him as an offensive lineman more than as a receiver.
Because they have to. They need the line help because Williams got hurt. He's an all-pro level blocker. That's part of his job.
Sorry. Man. Use another tight end for that and then line him up as wide receiver then.
But it's like saying, like, okay, like, we don't want Derrick Henry to stay in and, like, run block, so let's just take him off the field every time we throw a pass.
Or how about you just hand it off to him like you're supposed to?
Because Derrick Henry's washed.
Derrick Henry's washed?
Yeah, I think so.
Is George Kittle washed?
No.
So then why are you not passing to him?
Right now, for the team to win, they need him to be a blocker.
More than he needs to be a receiver. He's the only tight end. You can't have a fullback staying back and blocking? Like,
can you name any of the other tight ends?
You are wasting a vital offensive weapon.
We won the game 24-9.
So what? The Rams suck right now.
It doesn't matter. It's a division win. We're 2-0 in the division.
We also lost to the Broncos. They lost to the Bears, man. This is not. I mean, why are you like you're like celebrating a win over the Rams? All they do is beat the Rams in the regular season.
That is true. Jimmy G now has the second or third best record against one team as a starting quarterback.
I honestly prefer, like, if your team cannot win the Super Bowl, and I don't agree with you. I don't think this is a Super Bowl contending team. You're right. Their defense is really good. They haven't really faced a true test yet. So I'm curious to see what happens when they actually face a good offense. Who are they playing?
Not gonna happen next week.
It's not gonna happen next week. Who are they playing next week? I don't even know.
Carolina.
No, that's not gonna happen next week either. So
I think we're gonna keep that by like 50.
Yes. So I guess I need to look at their schedule and see when these tests are coming up. Because I need to see them play a real team. Like it's 4 weeks. You face the Bears, you face the Broncos,
Seahawks.
I do not care how good Geno Smith is looking right now. It's Geno Smith and the Chargers are going to be a good test. That's going to be a good test. I think the Falcons will be a good test. Falcons actually have a good offense.
I don't think so.
So they got some good games coming up. So they got the Chiefs.
The Falcons just threw the ball 7 times last weekend and rushed for 204 yards. Against the Niners, they're not rushing for 204 yards.
No, they're not. You're right. The Chargers will be a good test. I think even the Cardinals will be a good test because Kyler Murray.
They have our number, but I think we beat them this year. They don't look good.
No, they don't. But then again, the Niners are 2-2.
And yeah, but I just feel like right now, like we got Carolina next week. We're going to go to 3-2. We're going to go on a little run here. Once everyone gets healthy, I think we're going to be a very, very deep postseason run team.
Wow.
Yeah, I think NFC Championship game is like the lowest I expect right now.
Wow. Yeah,
I'm predicting it now. I just look around the NFC. Other than the Eagles, everyone else just seems like a fraud.
I know Tampa Bay does not seem like a fraud.
They couldn't stop the Chiefs, and that's their biggest strength is their defense. They couldn't even slow the Chiefs down.
Who can't stop the Chiefs? That's the best offense in the game.
The Colts just did the week before, and the Colts can't beat anybody.
Okay, that was an anomaly. That same week.
Was it an anomaly? I just think that, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a special player, I'll give you that, but his wide receivers other than Kelce don't scare anybody.
No, but he's that special. And then the Eagles are 4-0.
The Eagles are the only team that I think is a legit contender in the NFC.
Green Bay
does not look like a contender. They can't stop the run at all. They just beat a third string quarterback in his first like NFL game action in overtime by 3 points.
Who's that?
A Zappy for New England. New England started Brian Hoyer. He got a concussion, got knocked out, so they put in Bailey Zapp, who it turns out is now the first rookie quarterback to throw a touchdown pass this season. That might be a trivia question later. You never know. But, the Green Bay they couldn't stop New England. New England was like, we're going to run every single play against you, something like 14 straight plays. And Green Bay had no answer. They couldn't stop the run. You don't think the Niners can go in there and rush for 400 yards on that pathetic team?
All I'm saying is I do.
Who's he throwing to, too? I mean, come on, Dobbs looks good, the rookie, but other than that, their team just isn't very good.
Who, Green Bay?
Yeah, their offense is not good. They're a smash mouth run football team now.
With Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback.
Exactly, but who's he throwing to? He still needs people to catch the ball. Other than the rookie Dobbs, I don't see anyone on that team like making any plays. Just saying. I'm sorry. They're just not that good. And Minnesota? Minnesota's a fraud. Dallas is a fraud. I mean, Dallas
might not be a fraud. They might not be a fraud when Dak Prescott comes back.
I think they're worse when he gets back for some reason. I don't think he's good.
Well, I don't think so. You're saying Randall Cobb is out, like he has no talent left?
No, he's like 60.
Aaron Jones is a decent running back.
I don't know. They have good running backs. That's what I said. They're a smash mouth between Jones and Dylan. They're good on the rushing game. But if they need to get 10 yards, who's Rodgers throwing to?
My problem is,
who's his most dependable receiver to get 10 yards?
I know, but this is the same song and dance the Niners have been doing for a year or four now, where they have this great defense.
Well, it is what it is, but I'm just saying, like, who else in the NFC looks good? Tampa Bay looks okay, but they look vulnerable. Brady just doesn't look like he has it. They can't run because the middle of their offensive line is garbage.
Why do you say Brady looks like he doesn't have it? What do you base that on? He has no receivers.
He just doesn't look as good. He looks skittish. He doesn't look like he's making the best decisions. I don't think this is what he came out of retirement for. Now we find out that him and Giselle have hired divorce lawyers.
Did that come out today?
Yeah, I that's a report. So, like, I mean, does he re-retire to save his marriage?
If he cares about the marriage, he should.
I would think so, too. Yeah. And, I mean, he's got to kind of, because that's his sugar mama. She makes, like, 50 times more money than he does.
Even after his deal with Fox?
Oh, dude, she makes so much more money than him. She gets like $500 million for like one modeling gig.
Not anymore, right?
Whatever. She wanted to. If she came out, how much do you think they would pay her?
She's in her 40s now. They don't pay
her. Who cares? Have you seen her? She's like one of the most beautiful women on the planet.
Why does anyone – people pay models that much money?
Yeah. They go to a Victoria's Secret show in like Abu Dhabi. Like, dude, of course they're getting paid money.
I don't think they're making that level of money, though, dude.
Like, yeah, well, you'd be surprised. Just look up net worth, her versus Tom Brady. You'll be shocked.
I saw that a while ago, but I think that was – when I saw it, that was before Brady signed that $100 million deal with Fox or whatever that is. I don't know. But you're right. Yeah. You know, there's a – I forgot who the journalist was. This is back in, like, 2000 or 2001. It was a golf writer. I got to look that up. But he was – dude, he would talk about foreshadowing – he came out and said the only thing that could ever bring Tiger Woods down is a bad marriage. And
what happened?
And what happened? Exactly. So I, you know, Tom Brady, but like Tom Brady's 45. He's already accomplished everything he needs to accomplish. You're right. And, but
this isn't the team he signed up for. But okay. So there's this video of Bruce Arians talking about the most important play. And what's Bruce Arians doing? Get that guy off the sideline, man. Get him in the sideline. No, you didn't see when Mike – he's the one who told Mike Evans to go hit Marshawn Lattimore in the fight with the Saints. He was on the sidelines for some reason. He's an advisor to the team. He's not even a coach.
Yeah, he's up there. He's front office now, yeah.
Yeah, he's like an advisor. But he's not supposed to be on the field. And he's the one who said to Mike Evans, hey, you need to go in there and get that guy. And then Mike Evans goes in and chances the league said, you got to get him off the sideline. But, okay, back to the point here. He explains the most important play in the Buccaneers' offensive arsenal, and it's something 22. And it's based off the fact that they had such a great interior line, they could run up the middle, and that just set up all their play action. And Fournette could do it. But now that interior offensive line is just Swiss cheese, and they have two good tackles, but not like the center and the guards are just bad. Mm. And so that's where all the pressure is coming from, and they can't use this one play. And the fact that, yes, he hasn't had any like wide receivers really.
Except week one. And he was.
Well, in this last week, he had Evans and Godwin back.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think this is the team he thought it was going to be.
All I'm saying is judge the Bucs when they have Julio Jones back, Godwin back, Evans back.
Julio Jones is a mirage.
When those guys are all playing, then, you know, let's judge Brady a little bit, right?
Julio Jones is, like, one of those guys that's going to have, like, 110 yards and two touchdowns in one game, and everyone's gonna like overbid in their auction fantasy leagues and be like, I'm putting $80 down on Julio Jones. Like the rest of the season, he'll have two catches a game.
And by the way, you just literally said Brady's done. Did you even look at his stats last week?
Do his stats
look like a player that's done?
Yeah,
385 yards passing, 39 of 52. His QB rating was 114.7. Three TDs, no picks.
He threw the ball 52 times.
He was
against a team. He threw the ball 52 times against a team that was up 14 points the whole game.
Well, because he had to. My point is,
Brady. I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, it wasn't like the Chiefs were actively like trying to like slow them down. They were like, just waste clock. We're good.
Yeah, but 39 for 52, that's a high pass.
Okay. So maybe last week he was great. I still stand by my opinion.
I still cannot believe the Niners could have had him and they picked Jimmy.
Let's not re-sing this old tune, okay, buddy?
No,
let's
move on. Will, man.
Yeah, I know. I know. You're obsessed with it.
Because I'm obsessed with it because at this point, my whole beef with Jimmy G still being on this team is that he gives everyone hope. He gives people like you hope. It suddenly makes you all encouraged about the season.
I'm not depending on Jimmy G to win us any games.
But you have to. He has to do some good things. Like this, really? this act they did against the Rams, where it's just all these run schemes and little dink, dink, dinks. That doesn't work in the playoffs, man. You got to make some big plays. He can't make big plays, and I hate it because I'm done investing emotionally in this team and thinking there's a chance. Because I guarantee it. It'll be divisional playoff round. Maybe you're right. They might make the NFC championship because the NFC is so damn weak this year. But they're either going to lose there or worse, they'll get to the Super Bowl and then everyone will be really all excited. And even me will be excited and I'll have hope again. And that mother, you know what, is just going to let everyone down again. And then we'll see whoever Buffalo's QB is. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. Josh Allen. Win his first Super Bowl. The Bills win a Super Bowl.
Nah,
the Bills.
I don't think that'll happen in my lifetime.
We've said that, but I mean, look, the Warriors are a dynasty. Did you ever think that would happen?
I mean, I thought that was going to be good, but not like this.
So many people do not understand, the young people especially, when I'm still so excited about the Warriors. They're like, dude, well, you're kind of cocky. You're kind of arrogant. You're not old enough. You do not remember 20, 30 years of ineptitude. You don't remember the Warriors being the Clippers of the NBA.
I think we're the only team in history that, well, probably that's known of, where a player choked a coach.
Yeah.
People forget Latrell Sprewell and PJ.
Oh, my God. I don't remember much of the – I mean, I was too young in the 80s until about the mid-80s, but they were a horrible team most of the 80s.
They were good once they got the TMC lineup.
Well, even before that, when they had George Karl, Chris Mullin, Sleepy Floyd, Joe Barry Carroll, Terry Teagle, they were okay.
We were competitive. We were like a 6-7 seed every year, play the Lakers and lose.
Even Run TMC, they were like still a 6 seed every year on average. Yeah, yeah. And then they trade Mitch Richmond. They get a 3 seed, lose in the first round. But you're right. The point is, this was a horrible franchise. And now they're a dynasty. So you never know. When I saw that happen, and the NFC is all about parity now, where it's just they just want anybody to have a chance to win. I hate that, by the way. I don't want parity. Yeah. I like that.
I mean, it's just the way it is. I think it's because, and I'm going to be honest about this,
I hope you're honest. You
could always count on some teams to just be really dumb. Like, make dumb personnel decisions, make dumb draft decisions.
Like who?
There's just certain teams, like, you just knew you'd be looking at them, like, they're just not, like, why would they pay that guy that much money?
So, can I give examples, like the Washington Commodores?
The SeaWords?
The Washington SeaWords? The Detroit Lions?
Yeah, yeah, like Matt Millen as the GM for the Detroit Lions for, like, 15 years in a row, like, and the Ford family just giving him a blank check every year, like, but I think now, like
the Raiders. Let's list them all. Like the Raiders. The
Raiders Texans, were bad for a long time. The Browns.
The Browns. The Texans.
The Lions, obviously. The Cardinals were just a shit show for a long time.
Absolutely. The New York Jets are one of the most obvious ones.
Jets. The Giants have been really bad for like 5 years.
You're absolutely right.
God, there's so many more. That, you know,
I think we listed all of them. I mean, the Vikings can maybe be put in there.
The Bengals were so bad, putrid for so many years too.
I don't know how Joe Burrow deserves every penny he makes, man. Because talk about battle lines, dude. He makes the best of it.
Well, it's like they went out and they signed like three free agents two free agents and drafted some stud for the offensive line, and he was sacked 51 times last year. He's on pace to be sacked like 98 times this year. And their offensive line was supposed to be their big improvement.
Yes. The guard from Tampa they signed, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane.
Is there anything else you want to talk about Niners? Are you ready to move
on? No, I think we're good. I think we got Carolina this week. We'll take care of them. Baker Mayfield doesn't scare anybody in the NFL. He's done. He's trash. and it's crazy to think, like, if you're a Panthers fan and you're literally like begging for Sam Darnold to come off the IR. Because Baker Mayfield's so bad, you're like, I can't wait for Darnold to be back. Think of how bad your football viewership is if you're like just like actively like thirsting for Sam Darnold. So bad. Yeah, if McCaffrey doesn't get 100 yards on us, I don't see them scoring more than 10 points.
Sam Darnold, who is a first-round top 10 pick, right?
I think it was like third overall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were like that. He was in the same draft. Like Josh Rosen to me was one of the biggest busts I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. That draft was not good.
Yeah, but there were a lot of QBs drafted. Who else was in that? Like there were like four or five QBs. That was a Trey Lance draft, wasn't it?
No. No, because that was Trubisky. It?
No.
Who are we talking about here? We're talking about Darnold?
Yeah, the Sam Darnold draft. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to look this up real quick. But all right. he was on the Jets. And he wasn't good. And then he was in the 2018 NFL draft. He wasn't good, so they get rid of him. The Jets do. And then what do? They draft Sam Darnold 2.0, Zach Wilson.
Literally the exact same fundamental problems.
It's like you did not learn your lessons like last 3 years from that garbage Sam Darnold. I mean, so since 2018, they had Darnold and Zach Wilson, and it's just not good. Baker Mayfield was in that draft, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen. Josh Allen was the big one. Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson.
Oh, okay. He's good. All right. Trey Lance was in the Zach Wilson draft. Okay. Gotcha.
Baker Mayfield. Saquon Barkley went number two overall, then Darnold. Denzel Ward's pretty good. Bradley Chubb for Denver is pretty good. Quentin Nelson's pretty good for the Colts. Josh Allen's pretty good. Roquan Smith's pretty good. We got McGlinchey with the 9. He's there. Whatever. Then Rosen, Minka Fitzpatrick's really good. Vita Vea's really good. We could have so many better players.
McGlinchey's a huge
Edmonds, Derwin James, Jair Alexander, Leighton Vander Esch, Frank Ragnow.
But McGlinchey's a huge reason why the Niners run game is what it is, dude. He's a truck. He's a Mack truck.
I know. But can you imagine if we had like Jair Alexander or Vita Vea on our defensive line?
I'm not against O-linemen being drafted high. Like to me, I've never seen a good team except for the Bengals, which was really weird last year. But I've never seen, except for them, a good team with a bad offensive line. Like to me, the trenches are where it's at. Right there.
We did take Dante Pettis in the second round. Where's he now? Playing football in China or something?
Did they have football in China?
I wouldn't doubt it. But we did. This is the pick here in the third round. That's the year we took Fred Warner, 70th overall. Love him. He's a stud.
And I love that Peyton and Eli last night, the way they described the Niners pass rush, is like what they were basically implying is that if teams ran the play action on the Niners, it might work. Because those guys care about one thing and one thing only, and that's just sacking the QB.
They're just running. Get upfield.
Full steam ahead, dude. Yes, exactly.
Change the whole field position, yeah. Well, that's because they have such good faith in their linebackers.
Yeah.
The Fred Warner is a beast. Greenlaw, I mean, they're good. They're really – they're terrifying.
They are.
Yeah, I love it. Did you see – I'm not a big Bobby Wagner fan, but did you see that hit he laid on the fan?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Did they show that on the main broadcast to you?
Huh?
Did they show
that? I watched the clip later.
Okay.
They went viral.
On the Peyton Eli broadcast, Peyton was fighting for them to show it. He's like, we're not the main broadcast. We should be able to see this. And they actually went to it. And they showed the highlight. It was awesome.
That's great.
I love those two. Well,
Hold on. Before we get to this, I just want to say, that is the only job in the world where you can legitimately assault somebody, they get taken to jail, and you just go back to work.
Yeah, that's fair.
You mean, he literally just destroyed that dude, laid his shoulder into him. That's fair. You know what? That's that.
That's life.
Yeah.
For people, I don't know if people are familiar with Deadspin. They were actually really big time for a while. They got bought out by. This is a major crisis in the entire media paradigm in this country is that you have these corporations just buying up media entities, whether it's newspapers, big websites, and then all they care about is the bottom line, right? All they care about is making a profit, even though making money in the media game is really hard. It's not easy. And good journalism should not rely on a profit motive. So Deadspin was like a journalism website for sports, which is rare. And some new company comes in. I forgot what happened. The writers go on strike. The editors go on strike. And Deadspin was dead. It just sat there for like a year or two, I think. Just Dead, like on an
app. Well, you hold on. I might be confused about this, but what was it? The Gawker media suit brought about by Peter Thiel and Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
That took away, like, didn't basically they had to cut a lot of money because they got sued to oblivion, basically, because isn't Deadspin under the Gawker media umbrella?
But I thought Gawker sold Deadspin after that to prevent them from getting gutted. You know what? We should have done our research on this before, but whatever. The point is that Deadspin was inactive for a while. The writers and editors go on strike, and then all of a sudden they start trickling back. Like, all of a sudden you're seeing new content from them. You're going, what's going on? Every single time I've called them out on Twitter, I'm like, are these the scabs? Like, what's going on with you guys? They refuse to acknowledge me because I think they got scabs working for them now, but they're back. And you and I found this article. You said you love this, right? The top five idiots.
They do it on the first of every month.
Okay.
So it's the top five idiots from the previous month. At the end of the year, they do like the top 50 idiots of the year. Oh, they're hilarious. And it's, it's not, most of the time, it's like pretty sad. And you're like, wow, this is just like, holy crap, these people are terrible.
Right. And
I think, honestly, they missed one because, and this did, we'll get into this, but I'm going to add on when we start talking about this, number six, and it's a whole clown show of people.
All right, we'll get to it in just a second.
All right,
here.
All right.
So these are the top five idiots of December. Based on Deadspin's scab staff. So here we go. Number five, Anthony Edwards, rising star for the Minnesota Timberwolves, former number one pick. I don't know. I don't want to read verbatim what he said. He basically just said a homophobic thing. Could have been worse.
Was it a TikTok video where he basically like filmed people on the street? Said, look at those blanks over there, and made some derogatory homophobic comments.
Yes.
And then kind of laughed about it.
He used a homophobic comment. He did laugh. And of all the different homophobic words to use, I would say this is more on the there's levels to this, right? It's a gradient.
It's not
the F word, okay? It's not the F word. And if anything, the word used in itself was not derogatory. The way it was used was derogatory.
But isn't that a little bit more insidious? Because that's the person who's like, I'm your friend, but I'm not going to stop other people from doing it.
I'm not excusing it. All I'm saying is...
You know what I'm saying? Would you rather he just be an outright straight homophobe and say like some nasty shit? Or would you rather he be like this and be like, oh, but at least it was like a less softened like version of that? It's like, no, it's kind of the same bullshit.
I'm not excusing it. All I'm saying is like if you had called the person the FA word, I do think it would be a lot worse. Or, you know, like
maybe
you don't think so? Like,
well, I just think it's bad enough to begin with. And I think that like saying like, oh, there's degrees of ways you can be homophobic. It's like you're either homophobic or you're not. You're not just like a little bit racist. You're either racist or you're not.
I do think there's levels to it because a lot of cultures that people grow up in, especially in lower socioeconomic cultures, there's just a lot of ignorance where you just have no idea what you're saying is actually bad. Teaching you that, right? I don't want to perceive Anthony Edwards from this incident as being a homophobe just could be the way him and his friends have spoken and he screwed up. He certainly learned. I hope he learned. I will say this, if he repeats this, then I got a huge issue with him at that.
That's the other thing too. Yeah. All we're seeing is what he posted. If he said this and was willing to post it, who knows what he's willing to say when people aren't looking or it isn't like being videotaped? Because usually that's when like the true stuff comes out. This is just what he posted it. It's not like it was like somebody caught him like with a different camera while he was saying this to some randos on the street. Like he thought this was funny enough to post himself.
But I also think
that he says in the background.
But I also think that's why I'm hoping ignorance was at play here, because you're right. He so nonchalantly said it and posted it, like he didn't even realize in his head what the hell he was doing. That's why I'm really hoping that this was just naivety on his part, that he just had no idea saying what he said. And he basically, you're right, he stopped his car in this video, zoomed in on his camera, and he said, quote, look at these blank blank. What has the world come to? But and they're like laughing in the video. I really hope that there was no ill intent here, and that it's just strict, again, just ignorance, right? I mean, if you grew up in a certain culture, no one teaches you the right way. How are you gonna know? You know,
I guess it's like his. I mean, I don't know if he has any other problems in the past. I guess we can give him the benefit of the doubt this time. But
he's really got to
be better at what he's doing. You know, he's just got to be a better person. Because well, obvious. If you think looking at men that you're just inherently judging as being homosexual, and then saying what is the world coming to? So you're saying that being gay is ruining the world, basically.
Well, in the same sentence, he used the N-word. You're not going to just immediately assume that he's racist.
Well, you just understand what I'm saying. Like, if he thinks that it's a negative thing for gay people to exist, that shows a bigger, deeper problem.
I think his goal was to make out the person in the video as being effeminate. And that's where the connotation came from. Not justifying it, but to put it in perspective, like, there are a lot of people out there that still use the R word, which is a negative connotation for mentally challenged individuals.
Sure. Sure.
But I don't think society has caught up yet to the fact that that's a really toxic word. Like, when I had a stepson, he used to always constantly have to tell him, stop saying that damn word. It's really bad. And if no one was saying that to him, even though he doesn't believe that, it's just a word people threw out there a lot, he would have grown up like Anthony Edwards, who's only, 21, and probably would have made a mistake like that. I just want to give him the benefit of the doubt is all I'm saying, because I'm hoping it's just a one-time thing. I'm not defending it.
I guess we'll see.
All I do know is again.
Exactly.
So that was the
a little delay here.
It was an idiotic thing, though. Yeah, he was. Okay. Are you okay? Are we good? Can you hear me?
Yeah, it seems like we're a little delayed between the two of us.
Oh, hello? That's still working. Here's number four.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Kyrie Irving. Oh. This guy's just a jackass. This guy should be almost every month. I feel like he should be number one on this list. The only reason why he should be number two this month is because when you see number one, you'll understand it. This idiot now is coming out and saying, quote, I gave up 4 years, 100 and something million, deciding to be unvaccinated, and that was the decision. Get this contract, get vaccinated, or be vaccinated. And there's a level of uncertainty of your future, whether you're going to be in this league, whether you're going to be on this team. So I had to deal with that real life circumstance of losing my job for this decision, unquote. You're an idiot. All you have to do is just get a vaccine. I still have no sympathy for the anti-vaxxer crowd, man. None.
Well, my question for the anti-vaxxer crowd is where is the evidence of all these vaccines harming people? Where's all the dead people from vaccines? Where's all the people losing pregnancies from vaccines? All these things they said were going to happen. Where's the evidence of this? If you're still claiming I took this stance, what'd you take the stance for? What have you proved? I don't understand that. That's what I'm. The mentality blows my mind.
And if he didn't have a track record of utterly selfish decision making, maybe more importantly, utter stupidity. I'm sorry. I mean, this man who for a year of his life thought the world was flat might still believe that.
Yes.
This is someone that clearly, you know what I would love to do if I ever get a chance to interview Kyrie, and I'm going to a lot of Warriors practices and games this year. So if I have the chance, I'm going to take advantage of it when the Nets come to town. Is what are your sources of information?
Yeah, right. Well, you did see he just posted an Alex Jones video.
Are you serious, man?
Yeah, and I was going to talk about this because I brought this up. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came out, and here is his quote about Kyrie Irving.
Damn it.
This is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar talking about Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving would be dismissed as a comical buffoon if it weren't for his influence over young people who look up to athletes. When I look at some of the athletes who have used their status to actually improve society, Colin Kaepernick, LeBron James, Muhammad Ali, Bill Russell, Billie Jean King, Arthur Ashe, and more, it becomes clear tarnished the reputation of all athletes who strive to be seen as more than dumb jocks. Adding, Irving does not seem to have the capacity to change, but we have the capacity to keep fighting against his brand of destructive behavior.
Yeah.
I mean,
the sporting world needs more Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Absolutely.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. And then Kyrie bitching about how much money he lost. It's like, you didn't lose money. You made a choice. You know what I'm saying? It's not like somebody came and took money away from you. You actively made a choice to not make that money.
What Alex Jones conspiracy was he spewing?
Oh, it was a video, a 2002 video in which Alex Jones rants about secret societies and government overlords.
Oh my God. I hate Kyrie Irving. I hate him. Jonathan Kuminga came in this interview like 2 years ago, said Kyrie Irving is who he looks up to. That was such a massive flag. And all I've been saying since then is keep Kuminga away from Kyrie, dude. That is pure toxicity at its finest. Like, just utter toxicity, man. That is just a moronic human being. I loathe him. I don't blame teams for not wanting to pay him money anymore. Not to mention that defensively, he's a liability for your team, and that offensively, he's a little overrated. But my God, man. And so many people like believe him. He still has profound influence.
Oh, well, Bill Simmons made a great point. And he said, he was basically saying, like, Kyrie's great, a great offensive player. But when was the last time he actively, positively affected a playoff game?
To 2016.
Exactly. That's 6-7 years now for one of the top 10 supposed stars of the NBA has absolutely no effect on a playoff game.
Yeah, I can't stand him.
You can't consider yourself in the top 10 if you literally have gone 7 years without affecting a playoff game.
I cannot
say other than negatively.
All right, number three.
All right. This is our boy here. This is our boy.
See, this is, again, Kyrie should be higher. Kyrie should be higher. But Nathaniel Hackett at number three. Why is he on this list? You tell the audience.
I mean, where do you want to start? Game one, going for a 64-yard field goal. When you have a $250 million quarterback, you're just not using. Game two, the home crowd was literally chanting the play clock time to him to help him, like, figure that out. In between then, they hired a guy just to be their clock management guy, and literally they should have lost the game to the Niners, and I'm still pissed about that, but it is what it is. And I mean, he's just a bad coach. And I don't know if it's like, I mean, it's like, what do coaches do? Because you're not doing it. You're just literally not. He's just bad. I mean, he's taken, I guess, credit for it. They didn't look good against the Raiders this last weekend either. The 0-3 Raiders literally just stomped them. And it was funny. I was at one of my local drinking establishments watching the game, and there was this.
Which one? Show them love, man.
Katie O'Keefe. Katie O'Keefe, okay. In Missoula, Montana. Fun little place. There was in the one corner of the room, there was this, like, it looked like someone had eaten like a whole bag of Cheetos and like taken a shit. All the fucking burnt orange jerseys. And there was on the other side of the room, kind of where I was sitting, there was a couple of Raiders fans, and it got heated. There was some yelling between the two sides, and a lot of let's ride was shouted at the Broncos fans. You know, let's ride, like Russ. Did you hear about that? Russ, man, how is this guy so corny? You know, he has a Subway sandwich now.
Has like his own, you mean? Like you can.
Yeah, but you know what it's called?
The Russell?
The Danger Witch.
Is that his nickname? Danger something? Like what?
I don't know, but that's what he wanted his Subway sub to be called.
And he is corny. He is corny.
He's the worst. I can't stand him. He's so fake. But whatever. His coach is terrible. Right. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. This guy makes me laugh. He always looks so confused too.
And he looks. He doesn't look like a smart guy. Although that's a weird thing to say. But
he always looks like he's blushing too. Like he just got caught in a lie. Like he's just super red faced. Yeah.
Yes. And I still can't get over the fact that he insists on people calling him Nathaniel.
Yeah,
why do you?
Your name's Nate, bro. Go with it, Nate.
All right, number or Nat, right? Even that could work. Yeah, this is a weird one. Number two, the Browns fans. What's the logic here? Oh, because of everything.
Oh, okay. So this has been rampant, and it's not just the Browns fans. These people are just disgusting people. Go down further, and you'll see the picture of the dad with his kid. And it's almost a form of child abuse. These people are just terrible people, and the Browns are literally doing nothing as an organization to stop this. It's really just disgusting. I don't know. It's like, what kind of person thinks to themselves, like, there we go. That's the picture I'm talking about.
Oh, no. Yeah. Rich, man.
So that's terrible.
For people listening on the podcast, it's a parent, a dad wearing a Deshaun Watson jersey with his kid, I'm guessing. The kid looks like he's, what, 8, 9, maybe 10?
Yeah.
And the first sign says "fuck them hoes." The second sign says "free Watson." Like he's a prisoner. Give me a freaking.
Well, and plus you notice that that's a Watson jersey. So he bought that knowing full well Watson had been accused of sexual assault by like 30 women. That's what I understand. It's like, what do these fans think? It's like, it's funny to make fun of sexual assault. Like, ha, 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 fuck those women. Like, I just don't understand the mentality of a person like that. Like, he's teaching this young man how to, like, live in the world. That kid's never going to respect women. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, it's disgusting to me. Let's move on.
Crazier? He's going to grow up being a total asshole. He's not going to respect women. And he's going to end up one of the hottest chicks on the planet because of that. Because that's how the world works, sadly. All right, number one.
Well, you know, also, like, I mean, but I just want to say one more thing. Probably be a brave, so I mean, that's kind of like
that's where balance kind out. Of like, that's where balance
I mean, it's right. Karmic, you know, like, yeah, I deal with the Browns.
Oh my god, but it's true. I mean, usually the most attractive women end up with the biggest assholes. I just don't understand why. All right, and here's number one. Brett Favre, and you and I have talked about this a lot off the air. The media is not giving this enough attention. No. He literally swindled the taxpayers for a volleyball arena or whatever the hell they built.
It wasn't the taxpayers. It wasn't the taxpayers. That money was federal aid that was supposed to go to low-income families and welfare.
Well, it was tax money. It was tax money, but it was intended for welfare recipients.
It was supposed to go to low people. And he converted it to pay for a volleyball arena at his alma mater, and his daughter happens to play on the volleyball team.
How do you think this went? Do you think his daughter was like, "Daddy, I would love if you can somehow get us a new arena because the current one is just really old and dilapidated," even though like she doesn't know big words like dilapidated, but you know what I'm saying? Like, "Daddy, arena." Yeah, so is that how it went, do you think? Like, I honestly don't know.
I mean, I'm sure, like, he wanted to get his name on a building on campus, and they were like, "You got to do this," or something like that. It's just all so
his
shady.
Name's on it?
No, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what, like, the quid pro quo was, because it's like, I'm sure if he's getting this money for his alma mater, there's some kind of, like, he's getting something in return.
Well, like, I think what he got in return was that his daughter is hailed as a hero because her dad got the whole team their own freaking arena.
Well, there was another thing too where they were investing money in a pharmaceutical company that he's like invested in.
God damn, man.
And the thing is, he said straight up, like, you know, "I don't know where this money came from. I have no idea." But then there's text messages where he literally says to this woman, like, "Hey, is there any way people can figure out how this money got to me?" And she's like, "No, we'll cover it up." And then it turns out that he even asked for more money to get a new football, like, practice, like, thing for the same school.
By the way, sorry to interrupt you, but we actually have someone in the chat. Patek, who's chatting on YouTube, says, "Where's Rick? I'm so sorry. Hall of Famer Rick Barry is not part of this show today." It's part of his channel, and I co-host a show with him. But every once in a while, I host my own show if Rick's not available. And every Tuesday, usually at 1 p.m. Pacific time, I host a live show with John Zimmerman. John and I, we go way back to our college days. So, Patek, I hope we don't disappoint you, but that's what's going on. So,
well, thanks for listening too.
Yeah, thanks for
being here. Let me stay with us.
But anyways, Brett Favre, who knows if he's going to get in trouble? My guarantee is this: is that Brett Favre in his home state of Mississippi, where he's revered like a king, just gets whatever the hell he wants. Yeah. He never worries about legal ramifications probably for anything, because in a place like Mississippi, there's hardly any oversight, man. It's not like there's huge media organizations reporting and all the misgivings and misdoings going on in Mississippi. Chances are people are getting away with all sorts of shit like this on the reg. Right. He just happened to get caught. And so now it's a bad look. It's a horrible look, man. You're stealing money, plain and simple. You know, it's just
and we can talk about the media. The media doesn't want to deal with the fact that a white guy was stealing money from four black families, but they'll talk about, you know, like Jameis Winston stealing crab legs for 3 weeks.
What can you think of some other disproportionate media coverages that you think pertain to race? You're right, Jameis Winston.
I mean, Kaepernick would be the biggest one.
That's the biggest one. Yeah, that's the one where I'm totally in agreement with. he got so much attention just because, never mind the fact that the national anthem is a ridiculous tradition that we
and
have.
And nobody in the NFL other than the Rams did it before 2005 or whatever.
And
the only reason the Rams did it is because they had an exclusive contract with the military.
Oh,
to do that. Okay. The Rams were the first team to have their team come out for the national anthem. And it was like in the mid-2000s. And it was literally because they had an exclusive contract with the armed forces to do that. Because it's literally just a patriotic, like, go join the army bullshit, like, experiment. And I'm not saying the national anthem's bullshit. I'm just saying, like, doing it, this was the whole performative thing before the game. And then having the jets fly over and military members holding the flag. It's all just a glorified, like, hey, come join the army, you know? And they know, like... Well, that's a whole different story for a different day. But like before that, no other NFL team did it. And then once they saw that the Rams were like making all this extra money, the NFL was like, oh, hey, Rams, take a break. We're going to make our own deal for the whole league. And that's when you started seeing all these amazing like, oh, armed forces, like, oh, we're bringing out this guy and this guy. Look at these veterans and all this stuff and glorifying it. It's like, dude, what's the point? You know, we don't need that shit.
It's all social constructs. It is weird to me how obsessed people are with symbols, you know. But whatever.
It all comes back to it's all racism. It's just like the Little Mermaid stuff that's been happening. Like Lizzo plays a flute, you know, and all of a sudden, like she's destroying history.
I don't want to say it's all racism because
give me a break,
right? I don't want to generalize.
Taylor Swift plays a 200-year-old piano. No one bats an eye. Lizzo plays a 200-year-old flute, and they're destroying American heritage. What's the difference? Okay.
That's fair. That instance, you're right. Just make it
an instance. We can't have a black Little Mermaid. We can't have black people in Lord of the Rings, a fictional TV show.
John, my point is, if you start speaking like that, like everything is racist, you're going to lose the crowd that those messages should be registered.
Sure, sure. But I'm just saying there is some very, very obvious examples of it.
Absolutely. So use the examples is all I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Black Little Mermaid. Lizzo playing a flute.
No doubt.
Perfect example. It's Colin Kaepernick kneeling.
Versus Brett Favre stealing money from taxpayers that is supposed to go to poor people. Yes, I'd say the fact that the media is not giving Favre the amount of coverage that Colin Kaepernick did. Yes, that there's race clearly involved in that. I'm with you. By the way, shifting gears real quick, Patek, who's still with us, kudos, man. Is Wilt the best warrior ever or Curry? John, your thoughts, man.
It's easily Curry.
I agree. But why do you say
close.
That?
Not even close.
Why do you say that?
If you ever look back at Wilt's career,
it's phenomenal.
He was a great individual athlete and a great individual NBA player. He was not a very good team player. He really, once he got it, he had this rule because he had never fouled out in a game in high school or college that he wouldn't foul out. And he never fouled out with the pros either.
Correct.
And so, Russell knew that. And Russell knew once he got to a certain amount of fouls, because basically Wilt's whole career is defined by his rivalry with Russell. And Russell won 11 out of 13 years. Wilt won one out of however many years.
He won two
total. And he should have won more.
Wilt won two total.
But not against Russell.
No, one against Russell and one with the Lakers with Jerry West.
One against the Knicks. Yeah.
Rick Barry, who actually played against Wilt and saw him firsthand, swears that Wilt is the most dominating force he's ever seen in basketball history.
No, I'm not.
And he also says
the basketball talent is off the charts.
But he also says, and I can't argue with him on this, is that Wilt just did not have the same level of teammates that Russell did. In other words, like Russell was surrounded by Hall of Famers and had this.
Because
when you think about Bill Russell, he only averaged 18 plus points per game. He wasn't like this scoring machine. Bill Russell's value was more so defensively, playing against someone like Wilt and rebounding. So, but he also had all these other tools to help him, like the Havlicek and whatnot. Whereas Wilt, and this is Rick's comment. I didn't grow up watching this. Neither of us did. So Rick's argument is that if Wilt actually had the same amount of help, you would have seen a lot more championships. And this is a debate that there's two sides to it, clearly. But I'm going to say Steph just because. look at Patek, man. You sound like a hater and Wilt's teammates was trash on the Warriors. Who am I hating against, Patek?
He's talking about me being a hater.
Okay.
I'm not trying to hate. I love Wilt. It just didn't seem like – it seemed like Bill Russell had more of the winning gene than Wilt did. Wilt was like, hey, I want to get a triple-double, he went out and did it that year. He's like, I want to lead the league in assists. He just went out and did it. And I don't know if that necessarily at the time – I don't know. you know, as you said, I didn't get to watch him live. I didn't get to see any of that. Well, all I can go from is like stuff I've read from different sources. Right. And it just seemed like, I don't know. It's Steph. Steph's a different breed.
Well, the reason why I always put like I never like putting Wilt in the greatest Warriors category, just because his the best moments of his career were not with the Warriors, except for the 100 point game. It was with the Lakers and Philly.
Well, Philly was the Warriors. Philadelphia was the Warriors.
It was the Warriors, but then I think he played for the 76ers too. Hold on, let me actually Google that real quick because I'm not well versed.
No, I think he was just on the Philadelphia Warriors and then the Lakers.
Okay, so but regardless, his biggest moments were not with the Warriors,
right?
So I just don't associate him with that. To me, here we go. So he played with the Philadelphia San Francisco Warriors till 65, and then he played for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Gotcha.
65 to 68, so he stayed there, and I think he won one title with the 76ers, and then he went to the Lakers for 5 years, won a title there as well. And then people don't realize this that much, but he went to the ABA.
Right,
played San Diego Conquistadors. One of my final stories I wrote for the Huffington Post was, and it was a great story. If everyone to look it up, just Google it. It's the history of professional basketball in San Diego. And okay. I got exclusive photos from those eras, and I spent like months on this thing and just massive research. And one thing I discovered is that Wilt wanted to play for the Conquistadors, but his contract with the Lakers prevented him from doing so. They went to court. So Wilt did stay with the Conquistadors as a coach, but he was the worst coach ever. He like just did not give a shit. I remember there was a ballot initiative in San Diego for a new arena, which probably still will be there to this day because San Diego's lacking in that department. And he didn't show up to this campaign rally for it because he's like, they didn't pay me to go there. And I think he also said, if they really want the arena, they don't need me to come there and support it. And it lost by like 500 votes.
Oh, God. That sounds like, look, that's what I'm saying. Like, Wilt just seemed like he was more into like basketball was a big part of his life, but he was into other things.
Like sex.
And acting.
And acting, yes.
Awesome Persian rugs. I don't know. Like,
and sex on Persian rugs.
Sex on Persian rugs. Yeah. I mean, like, that's like, amazing. Wilt just seemed like basketball, for Russell, it seemed like basketball was like a big, like, more, I don't know. I guess I'm comparing him more to Russell. But okay, back to the point at hand. Curry is always going to be a Warrior. He's not going anywhere else. He's been there his whole career. He has four titles, going on probably five this year. He's the greatest shooter of all time. In my mind, he's the greatest Warrior of all time. And that's that.
I agree. To me, if you're going top five all-time Warriors, it's got to be Steph number one. I'm going to go Rick Barry number two, Klay Thompson number three, Draymond Green number four. And then I'll put Wilt to number five just because he did play for him at some point. Or Durant. I guess you could put Kevin Durant in there too. I mean,
yeah, but he's got the same problem as Wilt.
Except he won championships. Except he did win championships.
Yeah, but I mean, he was just slotted into a championship team.
True too. Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just like got on the bus and it was already at the arena.
So who would be your fifth?
Obviously Steph.
Chris Mullin?
Barry.
Chris Mullin was on the Dream Team.
Yeah, he didn't win any titles.
True. By the way, Patek, I will give him love one more time. We've got to wrap things up here because I actually have to go host Locked On Warriors after this.
Okay.
A lot of context from Patek. He writes, a lot of context is never added for Wilt. He lost his game sevens versus Bill. A combined 9 points in four game sevens. That's crazy.
Yeah, sure.
That's some good information right there. Yeah. Thanks, Patek. Thanks for your contributions today. All right. Anything else?
Before we go, I want to just add one more idiot of the month.
Whatever you want.
Real quick. And that is the NFL, the NFLPA, and the Miami Dolphins. This happened last month, so it still counts. A week ago last Sunday, Tua Tagovailoa was obviously concussed. He couldn't stand up. He was shaking the cobwebs from his head. They took him to the tent, and they lied straight to our face and said it was a back issue. And then they said he's going to play Thursday night, like literally 3 days later. A guy from the head, I can't remember his name, but he literally came. He texted, if they let Tua play tonight, they're risking his life and people should be held in criminal contempt. And then he said, I hate to say this, but I was absolutely correct. Seeing what happened to him on the field, the reaction of his hands, what they call the fencer response, was one of the most horrific things I've ever seen in a football game. And shame on the NFL, shame on the Dolphins, shame on anybody who is involved in this sham, and they have to get better at this. They cannot let this continue to happen.
God, I don't take great pleasure in joking about this, but we're entertained as part of the program, and hope none of you sensitive nilly willies out there take offense to this. But when you saw two on the ground, did it not remind you a little bit of Leonardo DiCaprio from Wolf of Wall Street when those ludes hit him all of a sudden and he's on the ground and he's like,
when I first saw it, I thought like he broke his finger. It looked like he broke his finger.
And saw the other hand
all his fingers were doing it. And I was that's like a cortex response. Like, damn. Yeah. It's like at first you look at it, you're like, oh, that looks bad. And then you start to think about it, and you're like, oh, this is like really horrific. This is not, I mean, like, there are people saying now he should just not play again this season. If he gets a third concussion, because if you get one concussion, it's bad. But if you get a concussion within like a specific set of time after that first one, it's multiplied by like 20%. Yeah. So that second concussion might have taken 5 to 10 years off his life.
They supposedly fired some doctor who
cleared. Yeah, they got a scapegoat. The guy who was in the tent being told, like, you're going to let him play.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how it works. And then the coach comes out and they're giving us all this bullshit. Oh, he was on the plane home watching a movie and laughing with the guys. Give me a break. Give me a break. It's disgusting. And that I don't want to end on that note. Let's end on something positive.
Warriors, man. They played the Lakers Sunday. They started the season 2-0. Keep it up, man. So far, yeah. So very good. Patrick Baldwin Jr. It's early. It's very early.
Sure.
But he could be the steal of the draft. And James Wiseman, man.
He looks great. And did you see that? So aren't the Phoenix Suns supposed to be good this year?
According to the quote-unquote experts, but sorry,
I know more about the
game than like 99.9% of these idiots in the media who claim they know anything. And I'm not sitting here telling you the Phoenix Suns are doing anything. They lost to the 36ers, a pro team out of, I believe, New Zealand.
That was Australia, but either way,
Australia.
Either way, it's like they didn't just lose; they gave up 136 points.
Well, and what the funny thing is, so they play their regulars mostly in the first half, and then but that does show how pathetic your bench is, and they were losing at the half with their starters.
Yeah,
it's utterly pathetic. Let's end on
it sucks for them, but that whole situation with Sarver, I think, is going to hang over their whole season.
It might. We'll see.
I hope so. I hope they lose every game.
They're also incredibly overrated, man. Monty Williams might be a great human being. Everyone says he's nice. I don't doubt that.
Who's this?
Monty Williams, their head coach. But
I heard he's good.
But I have not seen enough from him to show me that he can win in the postseason. He hasn't proved that. So,
think of their last two games. They lost by 33 in game 7 to the Mavericks, and then they just lost by 12 to a B team from Australia. It doesn't look good for them. Chris Paul looks wiped. He's done.
Because he is. He's old. He's old.
He was never good to begin with.
Yeah. And so the Warriors. And the Warriors are looking good, man. All right, John. We'll be back.
All right, buddy.
1 p.m. Pacific time is when we do this. We were an hour late today again. That will not be the norm. 1 p.m. every Tuesday. Follow John Zimmerman at JohnZim406 representing Montana. And follow me at Dog Surf Roadshow. Thanks,
man. All right, buddy. Thank you,
man. I like how this is like therapy, at least for me.
It is nice to just talk it out.
It works it out.
Love you.
Presented by Bet Online.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.